This is Lynn Fraser with the Kilby Center for Recovery and the Radical Recovery Summit. And I'm talking today with Joan Tollefson, author and teacher. And her latest book is Death, the End of Self-Improvement. And I wanted to talk with you, Joan, so that you could maybe give some, you know, set some context and give people some ideas about how to work with the whole COVID-19 and the increased anxiety and fear and what's going on in people's minds, and addictions are increasing and violence is increasing. And what might you say about all of that? That's a big question, I know, but what might you say about that?
Aside from don't worry, be happy.
Well, that's one thing.
Well, you know, I just, I first of all would say that, you know, I think when we're feeling stressed or upset or confined, it's natural to want something that will soothe us or comfort us or distract us or numb us or whatever. And there's nothing, you know, inherently wrong with that. I think the whole addiction recovery journey, as I see it, is about, you know, sort of discovering what things actually do that in a nurturing way and a wholesome way, and what things do that in a way that actually makes us suffer more,
right,
and makes the people around us suffer more. So, mm-hmm. So, and you know, it's a journey. And someone once compared the spiritual search to having sex with a 900-pound gorilla and said, you know, you're not done until the gorilla's done. And I would say addiction is kind of like that. You know, you're not done until the gorilla is done, in a way. And it's, yeah, like, I think that's really important to remember, because it's easy to add a secondary layer of kind of blaming ourselves when we fall short, you know, or when we slip into some kind of addictive pattern. So, right, or lose our temper at the children that we're stuck at home with, or whatever it might be. So, you know, to be kind to ourselves and to realize that, you know, we're all doing our best in every moment, given all the conditions and all the everything that goes into all of us. We're doing our best in every moment. And what is the only possible in this moment. So, and I also think, you know, I would say to beware of the kind of, like, to me, it's all about recovery and waking up, and all this is all about just right here, right now. Mm-hmm. And the mind, the thinking mind, is always looking for the future. It starts with the premise that this is not it, this is not okay, and I'm going to find something that is okay in the future, even if that future is a split second from now, but it's the future. Mm-hmm. And so to see that, you know, both the thought pattern that says, you know, I need to indulge, I need to light up a cigarette or get a drink or eat a pint of ice cream or whatever it is, that thought that says, you know, I need to indulge. And then there's another thought that says, no, you shouldn't do that. You're trying to stop. That's bad. You know, you don't want to do that. And those are both just thoughts. And they're in conflict. It's like we've split, in the imagination, we've split me into two separate halves that are now in conflict with each other. And one is the good girl and one is the bad girl. And one is saying, you know, go for the ice cream. And the other is saying, no, don't do that. Be right. Good. And they're both about the future, actually. You know, they're both about the future. They're both go for the ice cream is obviously about the future, you know, a few seconds from now. And don't do that is about the future too. It's in the, and so just to kind of see all the thoughts that go with an addiction, like I really want that cigarette. No, don't have a cigarette. You're going to ruin your health. I'll just have one. No, don't do it. you said you weren't going to do that anymore. Right. It's costing you a fortune. You know, just see all those thoughts, and they're all just thoughts. And then is it possible just to be, not to think, but to be right here in this moment, and just to pause, maybe even just to take 30 seconds or a minute or 5 minutes or whatever before getting the ice cream or the cigarette, mm-hmm. and just feel the urge itself in the body as sensation. Just feel it. And it feels very distressing. It feels like, this is going to kill me. I can't stand this. This is going to kill me. I need the cigarette or the ice cream or the drink or whatever.
Right.
Or I need to, you know, yell at the kids or whatever it is, you know. But if we can just feel that urge, that urgency that feels like it's going to kill us as pure sensation in the body, just not the thoughts, but the sensations. Where is it in the body and how does it move and what does it feel like? And we may discover that it's actually not going to kill us, that we can survive it, and that it actually dissipates, it dissolves. Or we may go and get the ice cream or light up the cigarette. And again, then just to be with that, just to be present with eating the ice cream or smoking the cigarette and see what that's like and see what it feels like afterwards, and just be aware of the whole thing. And also to, you know, I think it's just really helpful whenever this invites us just to give our attention to whatever's going on in this moment outside of the thinking mind. You know, it might be just the sound of traffic or the sound of a bird singing, just cheep, 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 or whoosh, 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 or the croaking frogs, or the smell of coffee, or or the sensations in the body. Just pause and really feel the body, feel the sensations. I mean, just the sensory reality of this moment, which we pay so little attention to because we are so habituated to giving most of our attention to the thought realm, to the stories, the thoughts, the narratives, the explanations, and all of that. So to switch that and just, again, not as some heavy-handed, I've got to do this and I've got to do it right, but just when it invites us as something pleasurable, to just as listen to the traffic, listen to the birds, feel the body. And it's a wonderful thing, just kind of shifting out of the mind, thinking mind, into the body. And then you discover, in a way, there's not even a body here. There's just presence. There's just this open, spacious, listening presence with bird cheeps and traffic sounds and all kinds of sensations moving and vibrating, and, you know, and then, you know, maybe that, and that includes everything. It might include the kids yelling and screaming. And, you know, again, and just to be with that, just to see the reaction that comes up, because there's the, you know, it's obviously unpleasant to listen to screaming children. It's neurologically unpleasant. And I'm not a mother, but I assume if you are, it triggers some sort of probably biological distress thing that you've got to do something, you know. So it's not unpleasant on a physical level, but we add a whole layer of distress and unpleasantness on top of that with thinking about it. So just to see the thoughts that might come up, like, you know, this is ruining my day, or why do they have to be like this, or I'm a terrible mother, I've just yelled at them again, or, you know, all those kinds of thoughts that are all about me and them and how I'm doing well or I'm doing poorly, or they're doing well or they're doing poorly, or this is ruining my space, or whatever, you know, just to see all that, because that's like an added layer of distress and suffering. And again, not to beat ourselves up when we don't do that. I mean, you know, it's just, if you're stuck at home with a bunch of kids, and especially if you've got a, you know, drunk husband there as well. I mean, people are in a lot of difficult, challenging situations now. You know, the health workers, the people who are out of work, the people who are running out of money or have run out of money. I mean, people are in challenging situations. It's kind of my normal lifestyle. You know, I'm on the easy retreat, but some of you are on the advanced retreat. And, you know, for those of you on the advanced retreat, I mean, you're probably doing a whole lot better than I could do. So, you know, really, honestly, just give yourself a little credit for, you know, the fact that this is a challenging and difficult situation and none of us are perfect. So we're all just doing our best. But the more we can just kind of bring attention to what's right in front of us, right here, right now. I mean, of course, we have to do some practical thinking about, you know, how am I going to get groceries or something? But, you know, that's different than the kind of thinking that's sort of like, oh my God, when is this going to end? What if I go broke? What if I can't? What if the business fails? What if this? What if that? You know, that kind of thinking doesn't help. It's not functional. It's just suffering. So, and again, we can't make that stop by willpower or something, but just seeing it and seeing it for what it is, it begins to lose its believability and its grip. It kind of begins to soften. And when we notice that kind of thinking, if we can just again shift attention to the traffic sounds, the sensations in the body, just this immediacy right here, right now. So that's what I would say. And I just, you know, feel a lot of love and for everyone. And I wish everyone the best. And you know, I think this is going to change the world. It already is changing the world. And I think it's going to change the world in some ways that we would consider positive, in some ways we would consider negative. And that's the way everything is. And, you know, change can be hard sometimes, but it's part of life. So we just kind of have to roll with it. We don't really have a choice because we are this life. We're not really separate. It's not like we're something that's in life. We are life, and it's all one whole happening. The thoughts, the emotions, the virus, the sirens, the everything. It's one whole happening, and nobody is really in control of it. It's just going on by itself, and we can notice that. And there's a peace in that. There's a peace in that. So I just say, you know, blessings to everyone.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Joan. That's
thank you, Lynn.
Yeah. That's really good to be able to see it on that level, to see that, you know, we have catastrophic thinking because we don't know what's going to happen. And then we can come back into the experience of right now and mm-hmm. find a way to be present with that.
And the truth is we never know what's going to happen. And we think we do a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But we never know what's going to happen in the next second. You know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. To get comfortable with that is an advanced practice.
Yeah. Comfortable with uncertainty and chaos and disruption and things not being the way we want them. We can notice that sort of inner 2-year-old that's like, this is not going my way.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, hey.
And it should.
Welcome to life, you know.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah. Well, so I just salute all of you on the advanced retreat, especially.
Yeah. Yes, I do too. Yeah, thank you.
The Killaby Center for Recovery is reaching out to some of the people we've interviewed for the Radical Recovery Summit. We're asking, how can you support people that are struggling during the COVID-19 pandemic? There is a range of programs and support that people are offering, as well as ways to frame this. What is it that's happening inside of you during this time? Come to radicalrecoverysummit.com to click right through to the interviews.